Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. As God's new community, the church is to display God's character in the lives of His children to the eyes of a watching world. Let's pause in our races of life and listen to some teaching on character, how we are to relate to one another in the body of Christ. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is on finding community within the church, and today's topic is finding community in fellowship, displaying the love of God in practical, visible ways. As Erwin Lutzer comes to speak, turn with us to Romans chapter 12, verse 9.
You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how can we possibly begin to abhor that which is evil? Because by nature, we love that which is evil. How can we hate it? Well, I think the rest of the text answers that. Cling to what is good. And the good replaces the evil, and we begin to build in our lives as we nurture that new nature that has been created within us by the Holy Spirit of God. It is nurtured so that we begin to grow and we begin to love God more, and the more we begin to love God, the more we begin to hate and abominate sin. And that's what God wants us to do. We can't change our emotions, but God does. When you are born again of the Holy Spirit of God, there is a new nature within us that wasn't there before we were converted, and that new nature loves righteousness, and it loves truth, and it hates that which makes God grieved. And so that's the way the text of Scripture wants us to understand this. And in the Greek text, these are actually participles, these two words. We could translate it, abhorring that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good. It's a continuous experience. It's a lifestyle of where we learn to hate what God hates. Charles Carlyle says, we must see the infinite beauty of holiness and the infinite damnability of sin. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how can we begin to change our affections? We spend enough time with God until He changes those affections for us. So first of all, love involves our affections. It involves our attitude. Notice in verses 10 and 11, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. The concepts here are that we should cherish one another as members of our own family, our natural family. That's what brotherly love is. So we begin to take the concentric circles of the nuclear family and we begin to extend it to all those whom we meet, and we experience that love because the same concern we have for our own family, we now begin to have for the family of God. I know certainly when our children were younger, but their concerns, whatever it was, a problem in school, a health problem, whatever, their concerns were always our concerns. And if we could just begin to understand that the concerns of other people become our concerns as we get to know them and as we enter into their lives, that's what the text means when it speaks about this kind of cherishing, this love, which is combined with humility. Because it says, in honor, preferring one another, give preference to one another in honor. And so we're always thinking of the other person rather than just ourselves. Now that's a God thing because all of us are born selfish. And we're all born very protective of our egos, very protective of who we are, always on the defensive, always thinking of ways to tweak the situation to make ourselves look good. We are basically committed to that. But the blessed Holy Spirit of God comes along and does such a deep work in the lives of God's people that we begin to prefer others rather than ourselves, and we delight it when they receive the credit, even if it is for something that we ourselves have done, because we're dead to self. We no longer need all of the self and aggrandizement that you and I were born to want to receive. That's what the text is talking about, humility, that elusive quality called humility. I read this past week of a church that gave one of its deacons a medal for humility, and then they took it away when he wore it. So, but this is what God desires, along with spiritual fervor, you'll notice. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Love involves our affections. Love involves our attitude, verses 10 and 11. It also involves our actions. And here we have a whole list of things that we should be doing, and the attitudes continue on in this list, but let's look at them. It says, joyful in hope, rejoicing in hope. We live in anticipation of the future. We are eternal optimists because we believe that no matter how bad things get here, we know that there is a new world coming when things are going to be different. And so we continue to rejoice, not because we're naive, not because our heads are in the sand, but because we're convinced that God is in control. Someone has said that there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. So we continue to hope and hope and hope, not just about our salvation, which is secure and that we know about, but we also keep believing God even against incredible odds. Notice it says patient in affliction or in tribulation, because we believe that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And therefore we go on believing and we go on trusting in the midst of tribulation. We do believe that God is there. Some of you are listening who perhaps have given up on God at this point. You've become cynical. Because you have cried to God for a situation and God has not intervened. And I ask you, don't allow your heart to go there. Keep your heart fresh before God. Keep believing, keep trusting, and knowing that our Heavenly Father knows what is best. Someone says, suffering colors all of life. And it does, but someone else said, I get to choose the color. And you do. Notice it says, faithful in prayer, which is really the bottom line of it all, isn't it? We persevere in prayer. Yesterday we had a day of prayer and fasting, and I can't even begin to communicate to those of you who were there, who were not there, the blessing that God gave to us. Woolley Hall was filled for most of the day from about 8:30 to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon as the Holy Spirit of God enabled us to pray with fervency and unity and a sense of camaraderie and an understanding of what fellowship is. And the Bible says that we should persevere in that because without prayer we have lost God's power, we've lost God's perspective, and we no longer remember who we are in His presence. So it says devoted in prayer. Giving to the saints. You become a partner with the saints, and you look upon the needs of the saints as if those needs were your own. And therefore, we become a very generous people because we understand now that we are part of the body. And one part of the body cannot suffer unless the other part recognizes that it's suffering and it enters in sympathy in that suffering experience. And that's what God is calling us to as members of the body of Jesus Christ. Next week's message is going to be on how the body heals itself as we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. Next is hospitality. Hospitality binds people together. There is that sense of unity. Christianity is known as the religion of the open hand, the open heart, and the open door. And so this is what we're called to, folks, as a community of believers here at the Moody Church. This is what God is asking us to do. Now, as we look at this text of Scripture, one of the observations we have to make about it is this, that it is not possible for us to experience what Paul is talking about simply by coming to a worship service. This is something that can only be practiced in a small group. It can only be experienced among believers who know each other, who have the opportunity of acting out the things that are listed in this text. And in that way, we grow one life next to another. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, I don't need the body. I like to come into a worship service and then I go my way. And I am able to do that, and then I come back next week. But listen very carefully. If that's your experience of the Christian life, you have deep needs that you might not know about, because there are some things God can only do with fellowship within the body of Jesus Christ. And the kind of community that we're talking about is one of them. Richard Halvorson made the remark that many Christians see the body of Christ this way, like a barrel of marbles that come together and they ricochet one off another. And they're in this barrel together on Sunday morning, and then after the benediction, the barrel is turned over and they spill out and they go back to all of their various homes and so forth, and that's it. That's a bad image of the Christian church. A much better image is to see us, he says, as grapes that are squashed into this barrel. They are squished together. There's no way one can just run away without affecting the other. They are all together in the body of Jesus Christ, in unity, in commitment. Now, as I look at this congregation here, I need to tell you very candidly that if you are with a congregation of 2,000 people, you can worship the Lord. We thank God so much that that happened already this morning. As we gave praise to God together, as we directed our thoughts toward the Lord, to our unity that has been created in us by the Holy Spirit, we worshiped. It's possible for us to sing together, and certainly we did that. It's possible for us to be blessed together as we heard the special music this morning. It's possible for us to learn together as members of the body of Jesus Christ. We can take notes. We can leave with new insights in Scripture. But there's one thing we cannot do among 2,000 people, and that is to have fellowship. That can only happen in a small group. And your small group here at Moody Church may be the choir, because that's where you begin to bond. It may be a Sunday school class. It may be the women's ministry. It may be the men's ministry. It may be the children's ministry as you work together with other teachers and with other leaders. But somewhere along the line, what we need to do is to bond together. We also have a small group ministry. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Luther, and of course I was speaking specifically about the Moody Church. Your church may be different. Your circumstances may be very dissimilar. But the truth is that all of us need each other. I hope that you have friends. I hope that you do have a small group of some kind where you can share your needs, where you can listen to the concerns of others, where you can pray for one another, because the Church of Jesus Christ desperately needs the strength that comes from the body. Jesus is the head of the church, but at the same time, we all do need each other. We are interconnected. Let me thank the many of you who support the ministry of Running to Win. And we're always very appreciative of all of you, those who pray, those who support us regularly. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? Here's what you can do to find more information. You go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com, and you click on the Endurance Partner button. In a moment, I'll be giving you a phone number that you can call. But at the same time, I need to remind you that even as this message emphasized the interconnectedness of the body, we are connected to one another even by the electronic form of radio. Thanks in advance for standing with us. Here's what you can do to connect with us. You can call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. And if you're interested in exploring what it means to become an endurance partner, as I've already emphasized, go to offerrtw.com, click on the Endurance Partner button, or call us at 1-800-215-5001.
You've heard Erwin Lutzer with more of Finding Community in Fellowship, the second in a four-part series on finding community within the church. Next time, tune in for Dr. Lutzer's conclusions on what fellowship means and what it accomplishes. Finding Community Within the Church can be yours as a series on CD. All four messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.